Part 1. Win of Garnock, Wales 1060. If in the twilight of memory we should meet once more, we shall speak again together, and you shall sing to me a deeper song. Khalil Gibran, The Prophet. Chapter 1. Win of Garnock stared down at her father's grave. A month had passed since Owen ap Llewellyn had met his death in a freak accident. The grass was already beginning to grow and thicken upon the burial mound, which would soon look like her mother's grave, as if it had been there for 100 centuries, as if there was nothing beneath the mound at all but the earth itself. She felt a tear begin to slide down her cheek and impatiently brushed it away. She had not cried at her father's demise. Tears were for weaklings, and she could not be weak like other women. Other women did not have the responsibility of a large productive estate that must be kept safe for its boy heir. Other women did not have the liability for the safety of that little brother or 3 sisters. "Father," Wynne said aloud, "'tis a hard task you have left me." And then she sighed deeply. Owen ap Llewellyn had been a tall, handsome man in the prime of his life. Although he held one of the richest estates in all of Morgannwg, there was none who begrudged him it, even the king, Griffith ap Llewellyn, his distant cousin. In warlike Wales he was regarded as a man of peace, although Owen ap Llewellyn had been known to pick up his sword when the occasion merited it. Still he preferred his lands and his cattle, his wife and his family above all else, and he would do naught to jeopardize those things. For his entire life, Owen ap Llewellyn had been considered fortunate in all things. At the age of 22, he had taken to wife a girl considered the greatest beauty in all of Wales, Margiad, called the Pearl. She had given him 4 daughters and a son before dying in childbirth. But even so, Owen ap Llewellyn was still thought to be a lucky man. His children were all healthy, and he could certainly marry again. He was considered a prime catch. But Owen did not remarry. He had loved his wife greatly and mourned her loss deeply. Those who knew Owen ap Llewellyn best noticed that he did not laugh quite as easily or as frequently after Margiad's death. He named the daughter she had died birthing Mare, which meant sorrow in the ancient Cymry language. He loved the baby no less than he had loved her siblings, for he was not a cruel man, but he was never again the same man, the man he had been before Margiad the Pearl's death. Now he drove himself relentlessly, as if seeking to escape the reality of his widowhood. Never an overly prideful man, he thought nothing of picking up a scythe and working in the fields with his serfs and his slaves. Indeed, on the day that Owen ap Llewellyn had died, he had suddenly decided to help in the rethatching of his barn. The spring rains would soon be upon them, and the winter had taken its toll of that vital structure's roof. A load of thatch upon his broad shoulder, he had lost his footing and fallen from the roof into a pile of hay below. A pitchfork, left carelessly in the hay, had pierced Owen ap Llewellyn's heart, killing him instantly. The heir to Garnock was 10 years old, and although technically the estate was his, he was much too young to manage it. That task had fallen to his eldest sister, Wynne, who was 15, there being no male kin available. Fortunately, the orphans of Garnock had their paternal grandmother, Enid, to look after the management of the household, leaving Wynne free to oversee her little brother's large inheritance. There were other things that needed settling, though, and Wynne feared she was not capable of doing these things. As the lord of Garnock, her little brother was a valuable marital catch, but Wynne was not certain it was wise to betroth Dewey ap Owen to a wife until he was considerably older. It was not unusual for boys of 10 to be married, but the truth of the matter was that should Dewey not survive his childhood, a child wife's family could place a claim on the rich lands of Garnock in the widow's name.